Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brand Your Practice podcast, where you get to learn about marketing, growing, and scaling your private practice. I'm Brent Stutzman, and today we're going to be talking about how to create a team culture that retains clinicians and grows your brand. But before we get into the episode, I want all the group practice owners out there and those who might be on the verge of starting a group practice to know about the Group Practice Scaling Summit that I'm hosting on April 23rd and 24th this year in beautiful Oak Park, Illinois. It's a day and a half where you get to grow your business owner skills. We're talking about how to hire amazing team members, how to fire team members, and what metrics you need to do to track, like what metrics you need to track on a dashboard to make sure your business is healthy and you don't have any blind spots, and so much more. So think about this summit as a series of mini TED Talks, but you can then ask all the questions you want to the speaker and also learn from the wisdom of the group. So I think community is really important in the learning process. So which is why we're limiting to just 50 people, group practice owners coming, and also creating a lot of space where you can ask questions and be in community and try to figure out those places that you are stuck in your practice and get unstuck. So just go to brandyourpractice.com/summit to sign up. Tickets are going fast. We have a special discount for just the podcast listeners. And so when you go and check out, just type in podcast 100, and you get $100 off. All right. So let's go back to today's topic, how to create a team culture that retains clinicians and grows your brand. And to help me do that is Alex Hare, the owner of Optimum Joy Counseling, is a multi-state group practice that's based here in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome back to the show, Alex.
Oh, I am so happy to be here. And honestly, I think in just listening to you list off those topics, Brent, I am happy to be speaking to the summit, but I'm also just happy to be attending because I think like metrics, hiring, all those things are things that I am also dealing with on like a day-to-day basis. So I'm just excited for the summit and to be there and to see you there. And yeah, it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And again, it's like group practice owners coming together and like helping solve one another's problems is what I'm really excited about and building a little community around that. And today you're going to be really kind of doing a little bit of a preview of your talk. So you're going to be sharing about three of maybe the five or six points that you're going to be talking about in this topic. So if you want to hear more, then sign up for the summit and come to Oak Park. All right, Alex, why don't you go ahead and jump in? I'll turn it over to you.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that introduction, Brent. And I think that when we are thinking as practice owners about how to retain what is our most valuable product is the people that work within our organizations. And so I cannot emphasize enough how important employee retention is. And, you know, we at this point in time have employees who have been with us. We've been a practice for 7 years, just over seven. And there's people who have been with us for 6.5 years, you know, so have decided that they want to stay within our organization when in fact they maybe didn't have to. And so this is something that I think is a really important topic because this having people providing services is what we do oftentimes as our main income line as practice owners. So it's just really important. And if you can combine those things like retaining your employees, but also like growing your brand, I think that it's a really delicate thing to combine those where people feel committed to an organization. So,
yeah.
And I don't know if you resonate with this, Brent, because you're somebody who helps people start practices all the time. But I think we need to really, as practice owners, realize that at some point in time, our employees don't really need us. And that sounds like a weird place to maybe start on the front end of like, oh yeah, we're trying to retain people, but like there's so much information out there that like organizations like yourself provide to like help people do this private practice thing well. And at least in Illinois, some of the licensure stuff is people really only need their employer for about 2 years until they get their full license. And so I think that with that combination of factors, I think we all just need to come to grips with like, at some point in time, our employees might not need us as their employer. And when it's like really easy for them to maybe work somewhere else, to think through why would they actually stay? And so when they don't need us, why would they actually stay? What actually like matters to people? And this is probably the bulk of my job at this point in time, is thinking about, are our employees happy? We just like changed so much of our paid leave structure to like, in, you know, give people rest and incentives and all those different things. So yeah, I don't know how much you see of this on your end in like growing brands, Brent, but I think one of the biggest things I've seen matter to people in their hiring and staying process is something, I don't know exactly the word to put on it. The best word I've put on it is almost like ethics in a way, but people, every single interview I have been in, which is quite, we're like regularly having applications and interviewing people, and consistently the thing that people say about why they would have applied to even come work at Optimum Joy is related to the brand, that people consistently say, you seem like you're doing good in the world. You seem like you're giving back. And that just feels important. Consistently the thing. So I would say that consistently what matters to people on their entry into an organization, but also what helps them stay, is how you think about business, how you care for your employees, how you care for like the community around you. And one big thing that we have done is really kind of work in our private practice, but also kind of work together with a nonprofit arm, that we are able to kind of fund initiatives that are really important to our employees. And that doesn't connect directly with compensation, but I cannot tell you how important that is to our employees, that they feel like what's important to them could be important to their organization, that their organization would put time, money, effort, and different means behind just what is an initiative that feels important to them.
Got it. Yeah. And I know, I mean, you might dive into this a little bit more in your talk, but like, I would actually love to hear, is this your nonprofit or is this another nonprofit you just partnered up with?
That's a great question. I am the founder of this nonprofit. And so I have started it and am on like the board that runs, that facilitates our initiatives and stuff. And so it's not essentially the same thing. They're two separate organizations, but we have a really wonderful working relationship in essentially like training therapists and like giving reduced fees and like putting money towards those causes. There's like a number of things around accessibility to mental health that is like the overall umbrella of the nonprofit that I founded, which is just called Resonate Joy. So Optimum Joy, Resonate Joy, it's kind of hard to separate the two, honestly, but they are two separate entities that our employees have kind of probably unique access to since being the founder.
Got it. That's great. Okay. Well, good. We'll keep going. Yeah. I would say, yeah, I think I am not a millennial, but I know the new workforce is generation, you know, the millennials, Gen Zers, you know, that type of thing where, you know, there's a bit of a disconnect, and how like connecting with them. So I don't know how you would identify if it's a millennial or Gen X or Z-er, but, I'm curious, like, how are you connecting with them as far as, well, what are they seeing as far as wanting to like a workplace? I mean, you talked about the giving back, but I'm curious what else you're seeing.
Yeah. You know, there is, I think a benefit of being in private practice to some degree is like flexibility. And so, I think that is something like hybrid workplaces or even we've had a number of people retain their job with us. We actually had a coworker living in Ireland this last year, and we had someone who moved to California. And so, you know, it's a little more complicated on the back end of like paying their state taxes.
Yeah.
But I think with millennial Gen Z, just like the upcoming, they want to some degree the flexibility to be able to do this like work that feels like helping people and doing good and like earning a good wage, but they also kind of want to take advantage of all of what life has to offer.
Right. And then it's the difficult balance of, well, if you like, if you want that, then you can't make as much money. Like, you know, there's like this trade-off. You have to work, right? And, but if you want this, then there's sacrifices that have to be made. I imagine there's a lot of those conversations going.
There really are, honestly. And I think that that gets into like one of the other big points that we'll talk more about at the summit, but just how you set up compensation and initiatives. And here's the thing is everybody, people need money to live. And we all want to make as much money as possible. But I think that what you just said brings up a good point that it's like, if you want flexibility, where are you going to give? And is that going to be in compensation somewhere? And honestly, in our interview process, I talk about this with our employees all the time. And truthfully, Brent, we aren't the highest paying practice out there. We probably sit just right under what is the highest payers, but it's because we do so much in like benefits and incentives and all this stuff for our employees. But I am really kind of clear about that we aren't the highest paying and really like tell people that, but they still choose to like work here and stay because of the like unique compilation of flexibility, this like great place to work that takes care of people, and also like what would be like a livable wage that they could do things in their life. And if they work hard, that they get some type of recognition, incentive. It doesn't always have to be financial, but I think money does always talk, I think, in a unique way as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go on to your next points. Thanks for sharing that first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the other biggest difference, so we're an office that we have just embraced the fact that we are for hiring young clinicians, training them, putting a lot of time, money, and effort into their career development. And, you know, Brent, people get into our field because they love to work with people. They love it. It's why we get into it. People probably don't often enter it thinking about like even the compensation side of it. Maybe if they're in their second or third career, they do. But some of these younger clinicians, they come into it because they're like, I want to help people. And I think that that is good and beautiful. We'll all be doing that the rest of our lives. But I think that there can be a fatigue in envisioning your life 5, 10, 15, 20 years out and just thinking, oh, I'm going to see 20 or 30 clients a week, literally for the rest of my life. And that has a monotonous and a fatigue to it that our office has really thought a lot about and created ultimately, like, how do we think about career development and what does that look like for somebody? And ultimately, in thinking about that, at any point in time, somebody, an employee may choose like, oh, Optimum Joy is not the right fit for me, but it doesn't happen very often. And I would be 100% okay if that did happen for somebody. It doesn't really happen very often because I think we've thought about and tried to think, how can that career development and all the things they want to do, how can that actually be maybe be under our umbrella or within the company of Optimum Joy, within the brand of Optimum Joy? And this is something that I think a lot of our growth has really been a therapist saying, hey, I'm interested in this. I want to do this within my life and my career. And then actually, I think just like matching efforts and putting resources behind that, that's been a huge way for our organization to grow. And they end up growing the brand of Optimum Joy, but they also feel like their resume, their career experience all grows with it. And that to grow one doesn't sacrifice the growth of the other. So I think a lot of our kind of new products, in a way, if you want to say it from like a business standpoint, come out of our own people coming up with an idea, bringing it and like wanting to do that. So that's kind of on an informal approach that just kind of rolls with people. But we have a really formal career development plan in our office where ultimately, if an employee were to choose to stay, and they would obviously be a good fit for the role, but they can essentially start managing a team of clinicians, bonusing off of how their team performs. And instead of them going and starting a private practice elsewhere, we think about career development and can they do that here and have like the supports and structures to do that, but still get some of like the benefit of ownership in a way. So we have like a pretty formal, like, what does it mean to be an assistant supervisor and then a clinical director and have an admin lead specifically for your team to help with like billing and all those different things. We have some pretty formalized structures that as people stay, they're able to just create something that is their own as well.
Oh, that's really, yeah, that's brilliant. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of questions at the summit around that too.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Since we don't have the time to explore all the things here on that. So hopefully that's a good tease for people to come in come to the summit. Because, boy, I'm going to have some questions around that too for myself. I'm just curious. Okay, so let's jump to the you have a third point here coming up?
Yeah, and we already touched on it a little bit, just running from like a good working place to like Gen Z and millennials and stuff like that and what they want and the compensation piece. And I will say that I do think compensation, I ended 2023 as a practice owner, taking on the initiative of how do I really make sure we're competitive in compensation, but also benefits. You know, like we give people December 24th through January 1st for everybody in our office is a paid week off. You know, we just shut down the office, it's paid. And that's a benefit that doesn't necessarily translate to the dollars in your pocket as far as wages, but that is something that our staff has really loved. And quite honestly, it's a slow season anyways, where we don't have a lot of clinician or a lot of clients seeing their therapist in that time. So it kind of matches up with a business need and an incentive that feels like one of the favorite things our office does. And so sometimes they can be just like money in your pocket, but you know, the reason why we don't fall in the highest paying category is because we have structures that like automatically give a week of paid leave that doesn't count against any of your other paid leave and some of those things. So I think being creative about incentives and time off and those type of things, a coworker of mine, he said, Alex, doesn't always have to be the salary. He says, hey, if every once in a while you do like a paid vacation for my family, I would love that. I will stay till forever if you just like kind of think about what is ultimately an expense that's deducted from overall, you know, on a profit and loss statement versus what is like, oh yeah, I'm going to pay you a wage and then I'm going to pay taxes on it and you're going to pay taxes on it. And just starting to kind of be creative and think about, oh yeah, that could be something really cool that feels good and right to our employees. So we have like a lot of different incentives and think about incentives and compensation in a way that, I don't know, feels more creative than I hear about at other places.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let me ask this then, because as you're growing multiple clinicians and things like that. So, you know, creativity is the antithesis of like scaling, right? So you can't be creative with all your incentives individualized. So I'm curious, like maybe you could share one kind of creative way that you are incentivizing your clinicians now. Like you said, at the end of 2023, you're like, it sounds like you went on a journey of self-discovery and compensation. So like, I'm curious what you kind of came back as like, what's one thing that you're trying out or you're testing or you've implemented that's really worked and resonated with your team? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a huge, well, just what I'm in the middle of right now, this isn't necessarily the most creative approach. I kind of have I'm pulling from like a list in my mind of the things that we did, but what I'm in the middle of right now that matters the most to our employees is their ability to rest and have like paid leave. And, you know, all of 2023, we actually had an unlimited PTO policy and we're a salaried office. We don't pay people based on like their hours. We pay a salary and like kind of mutually work together so that they meet their job description and have a collaborative approach like that. But, you know, what was interesting is people didn't like the unlimited PTO policy. And even that is like probably a very creative way to think about structuring paid leave as a practice. But there was a little bit of uncertainty that people felt. So we are actually like, it's not necessarily creative, but it is more structured where we've kind of come back around. I'm literally like, I have like 35 half hour meetings this week with all of our staff to like make sure they feel great about it. And it is providing structure and definition to those things that ended up, even though that might be like against creativity and flexibility, sometimes that actually has ended up being more important to them because they feel like it's really clear. Now, other than paid leave, I would say if you're a practice owner, figuring out how to give your people rest, I think it's the thing that will allow for burnout. And again, like if your employees are your product, it'll allow them to stay for as long as that would, you know, work in life. And that has been like one of the biggest endeavors I think we've been on that has been the most appreciated by our office. Now, creatively, we are really thinking about, oh man, do we just like put people on vacations? You know, if we're giving them paid leave, do we also think about, you know, like how that goes? And even our bonus structure is not based on how many clients you see. It's more like finance and accounting. It's based on your total billable. And so we just, even in that way, take what is a pretty common practice. Oh yeah, you see 30 clients, that's more than 22, you get an incentive, but we just instead have matched that to a different metric. And so a lot of what we do, I think you probably come to find out at the summit, is really similar to practices, but it just takes it and twists it, turns it on its head a little bit and thinks about it a bit differently.
Is it essentially
that was like a lot of information? Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true about rest. Trying to get creative at how to provide rest for your team. That would be really, yeah, that's a really good conversation. That's a nice reframe. And like vacation, because people rest differently.
Yeah.
Rest for me is like, I want to hang out with some friends, mm-hmm. you know? And some are like, I just want to go alone into the woods, into a cabin. And
yeah. So, I think that's becoming me.
Yeah. There's also a huge discussion around unlimited time off. Like I think a lot of businesses are doing away with it because it's sort of like, well, a lot of people didn't take it.
Exactly.
And they're honestly, burned out.
Totally. And you know, we, for the most part, I think it, like from my perspective as a business owner, it was working well, but I think that it just, again, there was like a undercurrent of feeling like uncertainty or even like, how do I interpret this? Or am I really, like they say you can leave, but they haven't. And so it is really ultimately by the like preference of our employees, which we have just under 50 people working within our office at this point in time. And so it's really by the preference of the employees that we're moving away. And it's a smaller policy. It's a smaller amount that's allotted, quite honestly, in the structured system, but it's highly preferred by them because it feels really clear. And I think anytime you can be clear, it's like anti-chaos, mm-hmm. but it also is like a kindness to them. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Oh man. Yeah. So many questions. I look forward to asking you in person.
I'm so excited. We're going to have a great time. I'm excited,
yeah.
Brent.
Yeah. Well, how can people find out more about you?
Yeah, you know, I think that the best place to go to find out more about myself, but also Optimum Joy, is just at optimumjoy.com. That really is the hub within our digital space that houses pretty much all the information about that. And even if you're kind of someone who is like interested in talking, like we'll see each other at the summit. I'm so excited. That's like going to be a great space for collaborative learning. But I think even if you're someone who's like, oh, I want some individual consultation or time and different things like that, there is like a contact us form on our website that will make its way to me. So I would say optimumjoy.com is probably the best hub for that.
Great. Well, thank you. Yeah. So like what Alex said, if you need to level up some of yourself as a practice owner, if you need to be thinking about incentivization, compensation, you know, how to retain clinicians, then definitely come to the Group Practice Scaling Summit. Just go to brandyourpractice.com/summit, or you could just Google Group Practice Scaling Summit. We go right to the top of the page and sign up today. So don't forget to use the discount code podcast100. That's podcast100, and you can get $100 off your ticket. And thank you so much. And just another reminder, All content on the Brand Your Practice website, podcast, and other media reflects my own opinions and should not be taken as legal advice, financial advice, or investment advice. Please seek out the guidance of a professionally trained and licensed individual before making any decisions. And some links in the descriptions may be affiliate links. All right, folks, thanks for listening. If you found the conversation useful, subscribe to the podcast, and please join me the next time for the Brand Your Practice podcast.